Every Christian couple should ask themselves, both of them, who is the Lord of this marriage? What plan are you using? If you're not using God's plan, you're already in trouble because there is no other plan.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's great to have you with us today. On today's program, we continue Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians with a message titled, Submitting to One Another Is... Let's join the study.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning as we continue in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 5. And we now have entered into the last section, if you will, of the epistle that Paul wrote from a prison cell in Rome to the Ephesian Gentiles. And, you know, Ephesians, as you've heard me say, has been called the greatest piece of writing in all of mankind and all of history. And man, I certainly agree with that. This morning, as we move into relationships, in other words, marriage and children, raising children and so forth, before we start putting on our spiritual armor, it's important. I want to start this morning with a positive and then a negative, if you don't mind. The positive thing about marriage is this. We hold in our hands right now the greatest instruction manual on marriage in all of the universe. Amen? And it came down from God. Man, this book is from heaven. It is God-breathed. Amen? Okay, so that's the positive. The negative is that so few believers know where to find their God-given roles in marriage and what God requires of them. Like I told the early service, you know, out of 35 years in ministry, I mean, all those years and all, just, I can't even remember. Some people I've married, I don't even remember it. No, I'm serious. And I had a couple tell me the other day, Bill, you married? I said, I did? Now, that, I don't know what that says, but hello. You know, that cheese is gone, man. But here's the thing. Out of all of that time and all that marriage counseling, sometimes 6 weeks, you know, in other words, every week, only two couples in all of that time have ever, when I ask them, I said, where is your spiritual role, the husband and the wife, their roles, where are they found in the Bible? Only two have ever been able to answer that question, and they knew what to do. Isn't that amazing? So that's the negative part of it. So as we start talking about marriage, would you say that that's a very important topic today? Man, do you know that because of the pandemic, sheltering in place, husband and wife? Oh, I mean, it's like, hello, I want you at work. Do you understand? Man, listen, the divorce rate is just, shooting up. It's incredible. So as we do this morning, as we go into and talk about marriage, this is more of an introduction to submitting, in other words, one to another is what? What really does that mean in the Word of God? And today's Christian, you know it and I know it, we have more marriage helps today, this generation, since the very birth of the church. Amen? You can go online and find anything you want about marriage. You can even have a marriage retreat, attend a conference online. You can have marriage seminars. I mean, there's so much out there, the conferences and so forth. You can order. You go to Amazon, look up Christian books on marriage. Oh, my gosh, there's so many books out there. It is unbelievable. And then if you look for the secular books on marriage, it is unbelievable what the world has written. Matter of fact, when I Googled that on the secular books, not the Christian books, it said 15 books all couples should read according to a marriage therapist. Well, I had to find out what those books were, okay? Let me just give you a few. I mean, the first one, the top of the list, The Art of Loving. That's very interesting. The next one, Getting the Love You Want. Sounds like a song, you know. Anyway, the new rules of marriage. I did not know there were new rules in marriage. Did you? Here's one that I'm going to buy. Emotionally Focused Marriage Therapy for Dummies. So I'm going to pick that one up. So here's what I did as we're starting our introduction about marriage, which is so vital today. I did what any good pastor would do. He went online and went to Google, and he Googled in just one word, marriage, okay? And let me tell you what happened. 1,970,000,000 results. That's unbelievable. I mean, how did they do that in 0.6 seconds or whatever they, how they do that, you know? And then so and with that came the definition of what marriage is. And let me read it to you. Here's the Google definition. Marriage is the process by which two people, now they didn't say which two people. I always say male and female, amen? Okay, the process by which two people make their relationship public, okay, make it official and permanent. It is the joining together of two people in a bond that supposedly lasts until death, but in practice is often cut short by separation or divorce. Now, that is the world's definition. That is not God's definition. Amen? The Bible teaches us that marriage is to be between one man, one woman, freely, totally committed to each other as companions for life. So Christians, we, loved ones, we have the greatest book. We have the only true book, the only true and perfect book ever written concerning marriage. It's called the Bible. God is the creator of marriage. You know, when you read Genesis 1-2, doesn't that just blow you away? We're going to be covering some of that in the weeks to come. But, you know, you think about, you know, how God created marriage and God created Adam, or male and female, Adam and Eve. Think about that. And then not only that, the Bible teaches us, and only the Bible teaches us, what marriage should actually be and look like. And also the Bible reveals God's design for marriage and also the divine order for marriage. And then what's really amazing is when we get down to verse 32 in chapter 5, it says that marriage is a great mystery. It is a great mystery when you really know what marriage is. Do you understand? When you understand what God actually does. But it has to do, an illustration, if you will, with Jesus our Lord and His church, the body of Christ. Now, with all that being said, you know this, I know this, it's not a surprise to you, but we are living right now in the most deceptive time in all of history. I mean, Satan himself has used man, as he usually does, to upset God's divine order, especially when it comes to marriage. Just in my short lifetime, loved one, I have seen a digression, if you will, from what true marriage is, and so have you. If you've been around as long as I have, you've certainly seen it. And that is, you know, let's take the 60s. You know, for example, in the 50s, did people live together, but they didn't tell anybody they were living together? Are y'all listening to me? You can be friendly with me. I love you, okay? No, then the 60s hit, and so marriage became optional. In other words, I don't have to be married. I can just live together. It's time of free love and all the rest of that junk. So it moved from being optional, and then it moved to the fact that, well, we can just dispose of it if it doesn't work. So divorce just escalated in our nation. So it went, again, from optional to disposable, and then something happened in our nation. It was one of the darkest days in my personal life, and I don't know if it was for you, but it was for me. And that was the day that the Supreme Court redefined what marriage is. The oldest institution in the world, marriage, was redefined, dear God. And so today, here we are, and if you remember back then when I was talking about it, I said it's going to open a can of worms like we cannot even imagine if it's passed. Now we have men marrying men. We have women marrying women. We have women becoming men, and we have men becoming women. We have children now that identify, they choose their own gender. They can become, I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl, or I'm a girl and I want to be a boy. If that doesn't break your heart, what will? That's where we are right this moment. There's going to be a great shock, and I say this with love. I love everybody, everyone. I want everybody saved. Amen. When you're in the world, you're not born again. You're a natural man. You'll do anything and you can believe anything. Do you understand? But you can say, okay, I'm going to, whatever they do to turn a man into a woman, a transgender, whatever that is, in the resurrection, whatever they were born, if they were born a man, they're going to be a boy, they're going to be a man in the resurrection. Do you understand me? You can't do this. It's against everything. It's crazy, the things that are happening. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 11:3, said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we can keep living for Jesus. We can keep our prayer time. We can keep standing for the truth of God's word. But so, yes, the world order is completely messed up. They're out of divine order. But here's the deal now, loved one. Listen to me. There is no excuse. There is absolutely no reason for a born-again Christian to be married that are out of divine order. There's just no excuse for it. And I know that only the Lord knows how many couples that are married in the church. And you know what? They live under the same roof. They have the same address. They sleep in the same bed. But in their hearts, they're emotionally divorced. They're married, but they're miserable. And then after that happens, the miserable thing starts. They start abusing one another verbally. And then they get lonely and they're broken and they don't have any more strength to continue in their marriage. The divorce rate in the church is the same as the world. You know that? Now, so with all that being said in this introduction, before we get into the roles of the wife and the role of the husband and raising children and all of that, what would you say is the number one reason or the number one cause for divorce among believers in God's church? I mean, think about that. What is the reason? Why would a spirit-filled, blood-bought, new creation, old things have passed away, all things have become new, chosen in Him before the foundation of the earth, accepted in the beloved, redeemed by the blood of the Lord, a purchased possession, sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, every sin forgiven, carried away, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, waiting on Him to come back to get us, all those things adopted, why would someone with those credentials divorce? And you may say, well, it's communication. That's one of the big issues. Communication is the number one problem within the church and in the world today with couples that are married. But that's not the reason. You may say, well, it's financial. Well, financial issues can certainly be an issue and cause much strain in a marriage. But that's not the reason. You say, well, unfaithfulness, adultery, whatnot. That does happen, unfortunately. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. But that's not the number one reason for divorce in the church. The number one reason why Christians divorce is this. They are not doing marriage God's way. They're doing marriage their way. Every Christian couple should ask themselves, both of them, who is the Lord of this marriage? You also need to ask yourself this. In marriage, Christian, what plan are you using? If you're not using God's plan, you're already in trouble because there is no other plan. Do you understand? There's no other plan. That's why the Bible is so wonderful. See, a husband, when we get over to you, listen to me now. You don't know how to love you. I did not know how to love my wife until I knew what Ephesians chapter 5 meant. Then when I got that, everything changed in my marriage because I was being obedient to the Lord. Same thing with the wives. Listen, it's so important. God knows what He's doing. Amen? No, wait. Who made the female? God did. Who made male? God made. Who made marriage? Okay, then don't you think He knows something about it? He created sex, not Playboy magazine. Do you understand? You know, like I always say when I'm in marriage counseling, I ask a question. I said, if I wanted to know, I use the same story every time, you know, I'm boring. If I wanted to know everything about a 1965 Corvette Stingray, would I call the Ford Motor Company? Would I? Only one person, Jesse. Jesse knows. Have you seen his truck? Woo! No, you wouldn't call Ford. Why? Ford didn't create the Corvette. Amen? Okay, but if I call Chevrolet House, they would say, man, I know everything about the Corvette. every wire, every nut, the horsepower, the torque, what size, everything. Why? They're the creator. Well, God, here is our manual. If you want to know how to have a marriage God's way, then go to your manual. Amen? That's why this book is so vital. It's so important because there's only one plan. Solomon. Did Solomon have a lot of problem with women? I'm telling you, hello. He wrote only, I don't know if you know this or not, he only wrote two psalms, by the way. But the one that he did write, Psalm 127, verse 1, said this, except the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord establishes the home. He says, listen, they labor in vain, in emptiness. Do you understand? If you're trying to build it yourself, you have to have God building your home. That tells us something. There's only one foundation that marriage, the Christian marriage, can be built upon. Now, and that is this. Jesus Christ must be the Lord of your marriage. There's no other way. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I ask you to do? So think about it. If God's not building your marriage, you're building it. If you're not following God's plan to build your marriage, you're following your plan. That is a frightening thing to me. That's called a snake tactic, you know, from the devil. That's what he wants you to do. So husband, let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your marriage, all right, how can you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Where's your plan? If Jesus is not your Lord over your marriage, how do you raise your children? I mean, you're going to raise them some way. But are you going to raise them the right way? You know, and how are you going to be the spiritual leader? And the same thing with the wife. Wife, if Jesus is not the Lord of your marriage, how do you submit to your husband, respect your husband, trust your husband? How do you even love him? And why would a wife or a husband get married to someone who doesn't want Jesus to be the Lord of their marriage? Think about that. Now, Christians have a different biblical view than anyone else, or they should. Did you know that we have a different marriage from all the other marriages in the entire world? Think about that. I mean, that just blows me away. See, listen, marriage is not a contract. It's not a license. If I married you, you probably remember I said, as you stood before me or when counseling and so forth, I said this, listen, you're going to bring me the marriage license. I'm going to sign it. I'm going to mail it back for you, da-da-da-da-da. But marriage is not a contract. No piece of paper, no justice of the peace, no pastor can take two people, male, female, who Jesus is their Lord, and take two people who are so totally different emotionally, two different makeups. Man, if you don't think, guys, you know the women are different than you. And ladies, I know you know he's different than you are. You're smart, he's not. I know. Amen? No, listen. And God takes two people. I call it the miracle of the marriage covenant. He takes two people because, see, marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. And he takes the woman and he takes the man. Adam, remember Adam? Adam was made from the what? The dust. Eve wasn't. You're talking about two unique people. No, Adam was, God breathed into him. He was made from the dust of the earth. But Eve, no, God took that rib out of Adam and he built woman. Amen? Are you following me? So he takes two different emotional makeups, and it's not a contract, it is a covenant. And here it comes. He makes the two one flesh. Paul says, and that is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. Boy, I can't wait till we start getting into that. It's going to be so wonderful. So with all that being said, the Christian should never, ever say to anyone, well, I believe marriage is this way, or this is what my grandfather taught me. Nothing wrong with that, but here's the deal. You need to say, here's what marriage is. I'm going to define marriage by going to the Word of God. It's not my definition, it's God's definition. We don't use the fallen mass of humanity's definition to define marriage, amen? No, we use the Word of God. Why? Because only God defines what true marriage is. Lloyd-Jones says this. He says, it's only the Christian who truly understands marriage. You cannot understand marriage unless you are a Christian. And that is such a true word because, see, it's a miracle. I mean, whenever I'm doing a wedding, and if I married you out there, or if I married you and you're listening, you remember what I told you? There we were. I said, here's the beautiful bride, and here's the husband. We don't care about him anyway, but, you know, he's all there. But everybody's looking at the bride. They're not looking at the husband, right? Thank you. And so they come up, and we're on the altar together, and I always lean over, and I said, remember what I told you. It doesn't matter who's here now. It's me, it's you. It's not about the attendance. It's me, you, and God. And a miracle is about to take place. You're getting ready to be made one. And you know what's going to happen? Once God makes you one, it's a miracle. He makes you one. Your very first steps that you take are steps that you have never taken before in your entire life. You now take steps, your first step, as one together, as one flesh. It's a miracle, loved one. So with all that being said, let's look on this introduction of marriage God's way. And here's the problem. Most people, I was guilty of it years ago, most people, if you want to know where to start in marriage, somebody tell me what verse you would start at if we're going to do marriage. Verse 22, right? Okay, if you look at verse 22, what is right above verse 22? It's going to say something. What does it say? Marriage, Christ, and the church. Now, that can kind of throw you off if you don't know how to study God's word, okay? Now, did God put that in there? No, man put that in there. So here's the deal. If you're going to start, you have to start at verse 18, all right? Verse 18, because verse 18 is a command. Be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. Remember, verse 18 is a command. It's not an option. In other words, every day, your desire, Lord, I want to be filled every day. Why? Because Christian living is life in the Spirit. And not only that, all marriages, every marriage begin with this command because it's given to every Christian individually. Amen? Okay, when you become one, this still applies to you. Two lives made one. Now both of you desire to be led by the Spirit of God. And not only that, you desire to be controlled by the Spirit of God in your marriage. So you take a Christian husband and a Christian wife, if they are obedient to verse 18, here's what's going to happen. They will manifest in their walk and in their life verse 21, especially in their marriage. Here it comes. Submitting to one another, husband and wife, submitting to one another, how? In the fear of God. Literally, it should read, in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit. Boy, husbands love this verse. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, verse 21, submitting one to another is also a command. It's a command that is given to every born-again believer. But marriage, God's way, begins right there. That's where it all starts. It's so important. See, if we just start with verse 22, we are doing much harm to our text. And we're also going to cause much harm to those who are being taught. And I've been guilty. When I was a younger pastor, I would start right there in verse 22 talking about marriage. But then once I understood, learned, and grew, then I understood what a mistake I was making. See, verse 22, you can't make verse 22 stand by itself. There's no way. As a matter of fact, verse 22 doesn't stand by itself. Let me read to you in the Greek or in the original language what verse 22 says. You ready? Here it comes. In the original language, the wives to their husband as to the Lord. Let me read it again. The wives to their husbands as to the Lord. What word is missing that's found in verse 22 right now in our text? What is it? Submit. Now, why is that? Do you understand? It's not even there. No, the verb submit. Let me give it to you in the Greek. I have a little, you know, my software program, it pronounces it for me in my office. I can punch it, and I do it about 30 times so I can try to remember. The verb submit, here it comes. Let me see if I can remember. Hupotasso. And the reason I say that weird accent is because that's the way they say it. So, husbands, if you want to be romantic with your wife, just go, hupotasso. That word means submit. No, do you understand? No, now listen to me. So the verb submit, hupotasso, it is supplied in the previous verse, verse 21, verse 22. You can't separate them. They go together. That's why that is so important.
That's all of our time for today, but please join us tomorrow to hear the remainder of this message. And in the meantime, we pray that your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.